Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Morning. I'm glad you've come. What a wonderful day. I looked at the forecast yesterday, and it was supposed to be just raining cats and dogs. And, of course, it may be when we get out of here this afternoon, but at least for right now, we've entered the building dry. What a blessing that is. Thank you for being here. This is a different Sunday. If you were not here at the beginning of our services, this is the day that we will ordain elders in this congregation. So, don't get excited when the sermon is short. This is going to be a brief-ish sermon, and then we will close our worship service with a prayer like we normally do. Now, at that point, your instinct is going to be to turn and wheel out of here. Please do not do that. So, we're going to have the closing... Marty Brown. We're going to have the closing prayer. Please be seated. We'll have a brief ordination service after that. So, again, closing prayer. Be seated. We'll have a brief ordination service. We are a New Testament church. Finally. 22 years. We've been standing up here telling about everybody how we do it right, and we speak where the Bible speaks, and we're silent where the Bible's silent. We do Bible things in Bible names, and we call Bible things by Bible names. Yet, when we read 1 Timothy chapter 3, somebody'd say, "Hey, how you doing with that part of speaking where the Scriptures speak?" And we'd have to embarrassedly say, "Well, we don't have elders yet." We have elders. What a blessing that is. This is Christ's church. This is God's church. He instituted it in such a way for us, His people, to meet our spiritual needs, to meet our physical needs where those are needed, so that we can become the best we can be. I use a manufacturer's analogy all the time. If Chevrolet builds a truck, and they give me an owner's manual, and it says I need to change the oil every 3,000 miles, and I need to use 5W-30. Well, if I just ignore that, and I change the oil never, and I put transmission fluid in there, that truck's not going to operate properly. In the same way, that is the creator of a vehicle, and that creator knows what that vehicle needs to run properly. God is our creator. This is His church. And He knows what we need to run properly. So as of this morning, Lord willing, if the Lord doesn't come in the next 35 minutes, we will have elders ordained in this church. Two verses that I think are important in dealing with this. And when we say these things about not adding to or taking away from the Scriptures, we mean them. And the fact that we're going to ordain elders today is a direct result of that idea. We want to please God. We want to do the things the Bible says to do. That is why 2 years ago, yes, 2 years ago, we began a process that eventually today is leading to this ordination. I'm going to give you two verses just briefly. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 15. This is my personal favorite along this list. Deuteronomy 4:2 is another. 1 Corinthians 4:6, don't go beyond what is written. But 2 Thessalonians 2:15 says this: "So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by our spoken word or by our letter." Now, these are not human traditions. These are traditions taught by men filled with the Holy Spirit, by the apostles. So the things that we do, we look at what the apostles did and we try to do those things. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 32. I use this because I typically use Deuteronomy 4:2, which says the same thing. "Everything that I command you, you shall be careful to do. You shall not add to it or take away from it." So this morning, we're not adding to, we're not taking away, we're doing exactly what the Word of God says. And the Word of God says that we need to ordain elders in every congregation. Turn, if you would, to Philippians chapter 1. I'm going to guess that many a sermon on the eldership has launched with this particular verse, and there's a good reason for it. There's a good reason for it because it points out several things about the eldership that are important and are easy to teach from, not least of which is there is an S on the end of elders. A plurality. There is no such thing as a one-man bishop system, a one-man pastor system, within the Church of Christ. Churches have elders, plural, at all times. Plural means two or more. We talked about that a little bit. People got on to me about saying the word two. instead of plurality. So Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1 and 2, this is just a greeting, but in this greeting, Paul describes the congregation he's writing to. Paul and Timothy, that's who's saying hello here, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So how is a church made up? Christians, elders, and deacons. Right? Saints in this application. Now to our modern ears, sometimes people think saint means something distinct. It means a set apart one. It means a Christian. All baptized believers are saints. So Paul is addressing the church in general at Philippi. Among them are men who oversee, or we may use the word elders or shepherd. They all mean the same thing, and deacons. So a congregation of God's people is to be overseen by elders and served by deacons. That's the way God set it up. Titus chapter 1 and verse 5. We did an entire sermon based on this verse a few weeks ago. Set in order. Paul says this to Titus about the church. He says, "This is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained in order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you." A congregation without elders is not really a New Testament church. Now listen, certainly we try with everything in our power to do what God wants us to do. Don't misunderstand me. But Paul himself says we're not all the way in order until we are ordered the way God intended us. And God intended for churches to be flocks and to be served and led by shepherds. That's who we are as people. That's how we are designed to be. Matthew chapter 9, I want to address this congregation particularly. Because Matthew 9 and verse 36 is where we're going. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36. Jesus is going to see these people and he's going to address them as if they are sheep. But that's not exactly what I want you to see. I do want you to see the shepherd analogy here with what Jesus is saying. But I want you to notice the problem with sheep that don't have shepherds. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. There have been times in this congregation when sheep have fallen away, and we have been helpless to stop it. There have been times when this congregation of God's people has been harassed, and there has been no shepherd with a rod to protect it. When Jesus looks out at this congregation today, before today, he sees sheep without a shepherd. And we can be harassed and helpless. And we need men who will stand, who will count the sheep, who will know the names, whose voice the sheep will hear. We're God's created beings. We need this. You may not even know you need it. We need it. Be here tonight, by the way, at 5 o'clock. We're going to do a lesson on what comes next. Because the what comes next is we're going to begin to realize blessings we never knew existed. We've been free-range sheep for a long time. We don't even know how good it's going to be. God is blessing this congregation. God will bless this congregation because we've submitted to Him and we are ordering and running the way He wants us to. There's no doubt about that. So Jesus looks at this church and He sees us helpless and harassed, and we have shepherds. Praise His name. Why does it matter? And when you're a kid and your mom and dad tell you to pick your clothes up off the floor of your room, you don't know why that is. Right? We don't like doing it. We boys tend to be worse about that than girls for some reason. Pick up your clothes, little Johnny. Pick up your underwear. Pick up your socks. Well, we don't know why that is. We think they're just getting on to us because that's what parents do. Yeah. But when you've got clean underwear, you begin to realize why they told you that. Or maybe more importantly, when you don't have clean underwear, you realize, hey, mom, dad, why don't I have any clothes to wear? Well, little Johnny, maybe you should pick up your room. You can't know what the purpose is until you do it. That's where we are today. This is the picking up our clothes off the floor of being a church. Don't leave the lights on. As a child, who cares? Check your oil. As a father who has kids that are riding around in college, man, check your oil. Refrigerate leftovers. Learn to read. Clean and oil your tools, people. That crescent wrench will not work if you don't rub a little oil on it from time to time. As kids, we have no idea what these things mean. We have no idea the blessings of them. We're just told to do them. As we grow older and mature, we begin to understand the why. This church will grow to understand the why. God has told us to be ordered in this way. We don't have to know why. But when we order ourselves, we will begin to understand why. Hebrews chapter 8. Two more verses, the lesson will be yours. I jumped ahead of myself. There's Hebrews chapter 8. Turn over there if you don't mind. This is a perfect example of a child who did not know what he was doing. Now, the child here is Moses. The instructor here, the father here, is Jehovah God. Jehovah God told Moses to set up the tabernacle in a certain way. And Moses did that. The Bible tells us Moses was faithful in all of God's house. But Moses did not really know what he was doing because God was telling him how heaven worked. How heaven worked. And he was giving him an earthly example of that that would live on, and all the Hebrews and all the Jews would understand that. And when Jesus came and made it perfect and made it complete, we would begin to understand it. But what God told Moses was, he didn't tell him everything about it. He said, be careful to pay attention to the pattern you're given on the mountain. So we as Christians today look into the New Testament and we see how the Christians pattern themselves and we obey that pattern. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 5. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 5, we'll read verses 5 and 6. They serve a copy and shadow of the heavenly things. Let me stop right there for a moment. The writer here is talking about the temple, talking about the tent of meeting in the wilderness. That the priests there who would bring their sacrifices to God, go into the presence of God one day a year for atonement, they were mimicking what heaven is like. They serve a copy and shadow of the heavenly things. For when Moses was about to erect the tent, he was instructed by God saying, see that you make everything according to the pattern that was shown you on the mountain. What Moses could not know was that Jesus would come one day and fulfill that pattern. For those of you who know your Old Testaments, the high priest of God could enter into the presence of God one time a year, behind the veil, and man could interact with God. In the new covenant, when Jesus was crucified, the veil of the temple was torn in part from the top to the bottom. The indication is there is not by man, but by God. And the separation that was between Jew and Gentile and God and man was broken down forever. And we do not have a human high priest. We have high priest Jesus Christ, who is in the presence of God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, approaching the mercy seat of God for us. But Moses didn't know that. What was important was that he did it the way God said to do it. And the blessings would follow. So today, we pay special attention to the pattern given to us in the New Testament. And we will do it. And we will be blessed. Finally, our verse for this morning is 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Because what Moses didn't understand, and what many don't understand today, is there is no need for a physical altar. In fact, if we were to bring an altar into this congregation, we would be wrong. We would be sinning against God. Why? Because the sacrifice that any altar needed has already been made. And we would be saying to God, we need to make more sacrifices greater than your son, and we should never do such a thing. Well, what Moses couldn't understand, what the people of Israel couldn't understand, is there was coming a day when there would not be a physical tabernacle. Remember what Jesus said to the Samaritan woman at the well, that where will you worship? Neither here nor in Mount Gerizim, but the time is coming when the people of God will worship him in spirit and in truth. What Jesus is saying is, where you are, God will be. And in the same way, we talked about 2 Chronicles today, that God's presence came into the temple. God's presence would be with us in the new covenant. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 makes a lot more sense in that context. Turn over there and read with me if you would. Paul says this, "Do you not know that you are God's temple?" Soak that in for just a moment. Do you not know that you, individually and together as a church, are God's temple? Do you not know you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. Did it matter that Moses built the tabernacle the way God said to do it? Yeah. Did it matter that Solomon built the temple the way God said to do it? Yes. Does it matter that we set in order this temple in the way that God said to do it? It is with great humility that we enter into this today. A little nervous? I'm a little nervous. It's different. This is a different sermon. We're about to do a different event. This is a different thing. But we will be blessed because we are doing what God has asked us to do. If you are not a Christian today, then you, by definition, have not done the things God asked you to do. To become a Christian, to be a temple of God, to have God's Spirit dwell within you, you are a vessel that needs to be cleansed. Who is cleansed? Sometimes we focus on how it's cleansed. Really, who is cleansed? The one who has faith in Christ and submits to Him. Everything else just falls within that. Do I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God? God proved it for all time by raising Him from the dead, never to die again. Do I believe that God raised Him from the dead? Am I willing to submit to Him and confess to Him as my Lord and say, "Lord, not my will, but yours be done"? If you are ready to do that, then the when of the Spirit comes after you've been forgiven of your sins, when you enter into a state of justification by faith. And that when, Paul says, occurs, Romans chapter 1 and verse 5, when you achieve the obedience of faith, when you're born again of water and the Spirit, when you crucify the flesh, when you die to sins. Baptism is not a thing that you do so much as a when. It is not a work, it is a submission to Christ. And when I begin my life of submission to Christ by crucifying my flesh and going into the death of Jesus Christ in baptism, and I'm raised again from that watery grave of baptism, I live a new life, forgiven and indwelled, cleansed and a place for the holy to be. If you're not a Christian, you're not forgiven yet, and God does not dwell with you, and you are not sealed, and you do not have the down payment of eternal life. If you want that today, I promise you, we will take this into a two-ceremony day really quick. If you think we won't get excited to have a baptism and an ordination on the same day, you hide and watch. If we can help you in any way, please come forward as we stand and we sing.